if you can see the two little green domes inside this fully transparent head, those are its eyes. The eyes can rotate 360 degrees. Why? Well, scientists and so on reckon that Jesus created it like this because it steals a lot of its food from jellyfish. And it can spot where the jellyfish are. And the jellyfish can't sting out its eyes because the eyes are inside this transparent head. Not bad for a big explosion. Okay, from the small to the big, here's the sun. Non-stop thermonuclear reactions. Every second, 4 million tons worth of matter get burned up. So that's every second, the equivalent mass of 4 million African elephants get burned up. Now, we don't notice because the sun's so big. In fact, the sun is so big that if I was to cut a hole in the side of the sun and say to you guys, can you help me fill up the sun with Earths? You would have to pass me 1.3 million Earths to fill up the sun. The sun is huge. Now, the Bible says Jesus didn't just create the sun and the universe and the planets. He's holding it all together. So he didn't create it, leave it, re-engage at the end of the age. He is the one who holds our universe together. If the earth was a little bit further away from the sun, we would freeze. A little bit closer, we would fry. He's holding all things together. He's protecting earth. He protects earth through these planets. You'll notice on this next slide that earth is a bit titchier than some of the other planets. So God surrounded earth with larger planets with very powerful gravitational pulls, and they suck in most meteors that, if left unchecked, could just blot us out. He's holding all things together. He's protecting us and keeping us. Look at our galaxy. This is the Milky Way. It's very large. If you traveled at light speed, it would take you 100,000 years to get across our galaxy. And there are many, many galaxies like ours, millions of galaxies. Where's Earth, I hear you ask? Here's Earth. Not at the center. We should be at the center. Because we've created microphones and guitars and the internet. John Lennon said the Beatles are now bigger than Jesus. Seriously. Because we can't even see the Earth, let alone the Beatles. Look at these other galaxies. And Genesis 1:16 says, he also made the stars. Full stop. So, you know, Monday he made that. Tuesday he made the stars. Wednesday something else. Just checking that Jesus, who's fully God and creator, that he's not a vitamin supplement to our lives. Do you take vitamin supplements? Apparently today's diet isn't enough. So you can take a little vitamin supplement. It's not your main diet, but it helps out. Just checking, he's not a vitamin supplement. That he's not an appendage or an add-on. That he's truly the hub of our lives. Not a hobby on the side. Amazing Jesus. I was created by him. That would be enough. But by him and specified for him. Not a hobby, the total hub. The next breath I'm breathing, gift from God. Just at the end of last year, our big summer holiday begins in December. And so I'm tired right at the end of November, like you're tired right at the beginning of July. Is it when's your big break? And I was just asking God before I went away for a few weeks to Cape Town on holiday, saying, Lord, what things do you just want to put in my heart before I go away so I can brew on. I don't want to seek you passionately on holiday. I want to just relax and love my family and enjoy you. I don't want to be in preparation mode. But do you want to put some things in my heart just that I can percolate on? And I felt him talk to me about doing better at discipling people to action. Not just discipling them to adore him. Because I love, as a person, and also as a preacher, I love to preach most of my messages about who he is. And I think that's good. Because when we get who he is, following him, you don't need to spend so much time on, right? So maybe preach for 25 minutes, who he is. It warms the heart and it forms the head. And then on the back end, 10 minutes of therefore, let's live like this. That's the pattern in Scripture. Paul often spent chapters and chapters unpacking who God is and what he's done for us. And then he says, therefore, live holy for him. But I felt God say that I should spend more time on the back end of my messages and helping people, helping myself and our church really line up, get our lives lined up with who he is and what he's done for us. And so I'm on a bit of a mission for that for 2013. We'll see if that sort of special sense of commission from God continues beyond that. But with him in mind, not with that in mind, with him, fully God, creator, head of the church, reconciler of all things. With that in mind, let's turn to three challenges for CCK leaders. Did you get the handout? And 1 Timothy 4. Last night we looked at the keep a close watch on yourself aspect, but let's look at some of these amazing words in 1 Timothy 4 that he's writing. Paul's writing to a leader. Devote yourself. Say devote. That's a great word. Devote. Do not neglect your gift. Practice these things. Not just hear about them, actually practice them. Bear fruit. Do the stuff. Immerse yourself in them. So that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself. Persist in this. Today's phrase is progress. Today's word is progress. Progress is not a dirty word. Jesus taught us that we must not just be hearers, but we must be doers as well. He said, you're foolish. It's a house built on sand. If you just enjoy the first 25 minutes of the message, but don't heed the back end application. Jesus said, I'm not excited about people who call me Lord, even Lord, Lord, but don't do the things that I say. So key thoughts, habit is not a dirty word. Grace involves devotion, immersion, progress. And progress only usually happens with measurement. Measurement's important. So here's three challenges to progress up a level, to better line up our lives with this amazing, fully God, creator, head of the church, reconciler of me, you, and all things ultimately. Start at the bottom. So Bible reading and prayer, it's not Bible reading and prayer, it's Bible reading and prayer are two of the main ways that we can know, can you believe it, that we can know the vine. We can know fully God, creator God, head of the church, reconciler over all things, Jesus. The Bible teaches us that reading Scripture is mighty. Do not neglect the public reading of Scripture. I'm talking really about the private reading of Scripture. So question for you, if for the next 21 days you spent more time reading the Bible than you did in the previous 21 days, would you be better or worse off in 21 days' time? Let's do that again. If you spent the next 21 days reading more of the Bible than you did in the last 21 days, would you be better off in 21 days' time? Isn't that amazing? It's just like, wow. Wow. Because through Scripture is Jesus, the living word. Not just a random book. It's not just another program. This is the word of God. The living word, Jesus himself. So let's read more Bible in 2013 than we did in 2012. How about it? What do you think? How wrong can it go? What's the downside? We get more. There's only one result. We're going to get to know fully God, creator God, head of the church, reconciler of all things to God. We're going to get to know him better. It's living and active. It's powerful. But just thinking about it doesn't do it. It's actually reading it. And prayer, talking to God. I am so stirred in prayer through Scripture. I love to pray and read Scripture together. So it's the bottom block. You might say, do you know, out of all those boxes, because I'm going to give various categories, and you might not be perfectly in a category. It's not an exact science, but man, if we don't try and measure something, we don't make progress. So you might say, yep, out of those three boxes, I'm in the bottom box. I'm in the never reader. If you ask Neville what it looks like, how much? Hardly ever. So that might be you. Not much. You get, and this is one of the traps of being in a church with great preaching, is you can feast. We feast when we're together. And especially if you're a regular church attender, you've only got 6 days. And you can live on a feast for 6 days. So my point is we need to have worse preaching in churches to drive us to Scripture Monday to Saturday. Hardly ever. Challenge. Okay, here's the challenge. Embark on a 3-month adventure. Oh, horrible things that can make you late for dinner. Says the Hobbit. Go on, do it. Go for a 3-month adventure of moving up a level and becoming an irregular reader. I challenge you. Become an irregular reader. Action steps. Get a Bible. Choose a daily time to read it. And follow some kind of program. You talk, guys in the church can help you. Bookshops, online. So many different types of programs to tell you what to read each day and how long to read for and so on. Okay, let's move up. So if you accept that challenge, or maybe out of these boxes you say, I'm in the irregular reader, personally irregular reader category. What does that look like? I reckon 2 or 3 days a week. Better than a kick in the head, but 2 or 3 days a week. Challenge, embark on a 3-month adventure of moving up a level and becoming a regular reader. More days when you get the living word of God, when you encounter Jesus, the head of the church, fully God, creator of all things, reconciler of all things, through reading Scripture and prayer. 3-month adventure of moving up a level, making progress. Let your progress be evident to all. Be able to say to someone in 3 months' time, I moved from never to irregular. Well done, you've made progress. Action steps. In addition to choosing a daily time, following a program, add in some accountability. Someone in your small group, spouse, girlfriend, flatmate. If in doubt, go small group. Small groups are great places to work this out. Say, hey, can you help me? And I'll help you. But let's ask one another questions. It's funny. Let's help us. Isn't it? You'll feel very humble. You know he's Jesus, the living word, but I need help to do that. Rather than reading the word of God, I once replied to an email. What's going on? I'm weak. I need God to help me know God. Have a buddy to help you make progress. And then regular reader, what does that look like? Maybe 5 to 6 days a week. Challenge. Keep it there through persistence and accountability. If you're there, stay there. Keep going. You say, where's 7 days a week? Well, go for it. Well done. That's great. That's great. More. Make progress. Move up a level. And what's really good, something happens when we actually put pen to paper. So if you fill in the spot, it's like you pin yourself like a spider to a whiteboard on the wall in a biology science lab. When we write it down, I accept the challenge to move from being that reader to being that reader. Challenge number one. Challenge number two, over the page. Oh, by the way, just before we get into challenge number two, when I started saying phrases like 2 to 3 times or 5 to 6 times, did any of you play the legalistic card on me? Honestly? So when I said, go from nothing to 2 to 3, did any of you think, or with your body language, because I didn't see anybody do this and get bleak with me. And I know you think I'm just looking around. I'm looking around. And when I said go from never to 2 to 3, all I saw was smiles. I saw people give the vibe of, great idea. And then when I went 2 to 3 to 5 to 6, no one did this. Maybe you disguised it, because you're experienced churchgoers. Did anyone feel, don't start telling me numbers, buddy. I'm thinking not. This page, when I start to put numbers to it, watch what you do with your arms, because you will just want to do this. Okay? You'll want to play the legalist card, because there's a certain power to money. So, just saying before we start reading this page. Yeah, just saying, just looking. CCTV cameras are out. Okay. The other just preface to this is, does all of your money belong to you or some of your money belong to you? Say it out loud. No, right, none. So none of it actually belongs to us. Who made you? Jesus. Who does the Bible say you live for? For Jesus. Everything that's created has been created by Jesus. Just want to start with a level playing field. None of your bucks belongs to you. Just saying. Irregular givers. Let's talk. What does an irregular giver look like? How much and when? I think various amounts. It's kind of ad hoc. Motivation. Are you feeling the pain already, by the way? Isn't this page different from the previous page? Isn't that extraordinary? Motivation. We give when presented with a compelling need. That's good to give then. Or a compelling vision. But it's almost always dependent on having surplus. So you hear a need, you hear a compelling vision. Yes, I want to give to that. Do we have enough? No. Okay, I can't. Do we have enough? Yes. Okay, I'll give something. Challenge. Embark on a 3-month adventure of moving up a level and being a regular giver. There's no downside because you can't outgive God. How about it? Dramatic pause. Okay, regular giver. Next box. What's a regular giver look like? I think it means someone who, this is the world I live in, okay? My view of it all. Someone who gives 10% of monthly gross income every month. Where does that come from? Well, 10% is the tithe. 10% is a biblical figure in the Old Testament. It's something they had to do. Of course, we're not subjects to that kind of thing under the new covenant of grace. So I would, if you ask me personally, I would say there's a principle in Scripture of round about that amount. I think the whole vibe of a Christ follower is, how much can I get away with giving? Not how little can I get away with giving. And different churches and different Christ followers will skin this slightly differently. So I'm just treading slightly carefully here. But for me, I feel, this is for me and Ash, we feel that if they had to give 10%-ish, when they didn't have the full revelation of Jesus even, grace was in action in the Old Testament in various forms, but they didn't have the full revelation of who Christ is, yet they were up for 10%. Me, I don't want to go less than that. I don't want to go less than that if I possibly can. I do think there are ebbs and flows in life. You might be in an ebb, you might be in a flow. I do factor all that in. This isn't a gun to the head. But hey, come on, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to him. I feel compelled, please help me God, to steward my life. And everything you've given me, which is yours. I'm just a steward, not even a temporary owner. You're the only owner always. I'm just stewarding something that you've given me to steward. So for me, I You know, I first heard about tithing in a legalistic setup. And I was 19. And the guy said, you must tithe. It's a law. And, you know, it was all Malachi and this and that and the other. And God just protected me because I thought, okay, so it's a law. You're the lawmaker. You know, it was the first church I was in where it was pretty legalistic and heavy. And I just thought, well, even so, I want to do it. Well, you say I have to do it because this is the way it was presented. So you say I have to do it. Well, you're God, okay. And is it going to crush you? No, you're God. So even under a legalistic thing, I've managed to give very cheerfully. You know, I don't blame legalism for too much. Seriously, he's God. You're not. Shh. So I was very happy giving under a legalistic thing. And amazingly, because it's not just a Christian thing, it's common grace. Even horror movie, horror book dude Stephen King, if you've read him recently, he's been saying things like, I encourage people to give. He speaks about the sort of law in nature, that if you give, you get. There's common grace going on. So I'm very happy with it. But then when you come into grace, that you don't have to, but you get to, man, the thing just took off. But wonderfully, discipline was already in place. And it wasn't legalism that made me disciplined. It's, I want to please you, God. It happened to be a legalistic environment. But then grace kicks in. And so, anyway, short story, I'm 41, so 22 years... I don't think there's been a month when I haven't given. I got married when I was 21. So it was pocket money, you know, at university. And I remember not being able to buy shampoo because I wanted to give 10% plus when I was a student. And it was never, oh no, can't do shampoo. It was, this is just so cool. Lord, I can really just, you know, show with my bucks I'm putting you first. And my hair got greasy and it was just crazy and stuff. And really, it was just a small thing. But here's the thing. When I was able to tithe, you know, just I don't know, 20 rand a month, getting that in place has enabled me to tithe many thousands of rand as you go. So don't despise the small things. So I would say that a regular giver, for me, you might adjust that percentage or something, but for me, it's giving regularly 10% of monthly gross income every month. What's the motivation? Well, understanding the new covenant of grace. I don't have to, I get to. And I think it's a maturing devotion to God and his church. You see, the irregular giver will give if there's a crisis in church or if there's a really compelling thing to give to. But the irregular giver, being relatively immature, will sometimes think, you know, well, if the church is going well, they don't need my money. If the church is going badly, it's irresponsible leadership, so I don't know if I should give them my money. When you get to the regular giver, it's, you know, I'm clear on this. The church, giving to it, trusting, going well, going badly, whatever, I'm giving. Ding, ding, ching, 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 every month. Key verse, 1 Corinthians 16, Paul speaks about proportional giving, regular giving. He doesn't put a percentage on it. You need to work that one out, but proportional and regular and disciplined. And here's me. I don't trust myself enough. So, man, we do debit order. We do reoccurring EFT. Over the years, we just used anything to make sure the money goes out before we even know it's come in. And call me undisciplined. Yes. I'll deploy any method to help me keep giving money away. That's key action. Unbreakable habit of giving first 10% of any paycheck. And I love giving the first. I love not knowing if there's going to be enough left over at the end of the month. It's like my mortgage company. Do I give to them first or to God? I know what, let me give to the mortgage company first, because if I'm in trouble at the end of the month, they'll come round to my house and give me cash for groceries. Right? Let's pay our electricity bills first, because you know what the electricity company's like. They're for you forever. They've got your back in retirement. In 30 years' time, they're going to be with you. Pay them first each month. yes, some of us, those more disciplined than I, don't like to do a reoccurring electronic transfer, because as you hit enter each month, you worship Kandala Kisentinis. Good for you. I don't trust myself with that. I do worship as I give, but it's great. I've got fellow leaders in God First, and they make a moment of it, hitting enter each month. I worship you, Jesus. I'm not worshiping money, I'm worshiping you. The advance of your kingdom. Hit enter. It's lovely. I reckon the regular giver, gift days, doesn't plan ahead for them, but gives if funds are available that month. Challenge, embark on a six-month adventure. Ooh, it's gone up. Yeah, six-month adventure of moving up a level. 6 months adventure of moving up a level and becoming a generous giver. There's no downside. You can't outgive God. My mate Mike, he's married to Mike and Georgia, young couple, great. I was with him last Saturday. He was umpiring a cricket match. I was watching my boys play on the next door field. And he comes over and he says, PJ, I've never done this giving thing. And I got on the challenge, because I preached this a few weeks ago at our church. He said, I got on the challenge. He said, it's been so painful, but so cool. And I said, tell me the story. He said, okay, the first time I decided to give 10%, it meant that I couldn't fill up my bucky car, truck, with fuel. He said, enough to get to work, probably home, that was it. He said, there was just no money. You know, it was really tight for him. And he said, I'm not exaggerating, it was a full call. And my wife said, come on, it's an adventure, let's do it. So he said, we did it. We gave the money away. He said, I went to work. 4 hours, so just before lunch, he said, my boss comes to me. He said, I've only been in the job 3 months. Boss comes out the blue and says, Mike, petrol card. We didn't discuss this on the front end, but petrol card, always use the service station, filling station down the road. Fill up your car anytime you like. Or you won't even, it'll just be straight to the company account. It's just so brilliant. God loves giving so much. There's a whole theme in Scripture of if you give, you get. I've never been very good at teaching on that. And when guys teach me on that, I maybe it should grab me more. But I just so love the other thread of teaching, which is give even if you don't get back. Why? Because he's God and I'm not. Shut up. But amazingly, he gives back to us. So let's move. Now, preparing all of this, I thought I was in the generous giver category. But I realized that Ash and I have had a foot in regular giving category and just 1 foot in generous giving. And this year we're going for both feet in generous giving. I'll give you a testimony in just a second. So let's look at generous giver, how much and when, more than the base level, which, as you know, for me is 10% of monthly gross income. How much more? Up to you. Motivation, deepening appreciation for the gospel. Wow. He's given all of... Aren't you glad Jesus didn't give 10% of himself for you on the cross? And I just want to cane it for God and his church. I don't want the church to do okay. I just want the church to rip it up for Jesus. Key verses. Verses on sacrifice. I will not give to the Lord that which cost me nothing. Excellence in giving, 2 Corinthians 8. Paul says, you're very good at several things, and I want you now to be excellent, not in just those things, but excel in this grace of giving. Be excellent in giving. So the generous giver is thinking, well, I'm excellent in prophecy, or excellent in reading the Bible, excellent in faith, excellent in purity. I now want to excel, be excellent in giving. I want to make progress in that. Key action, limiting personal expenses so giving can increase. And that is the fun bit, boy, tightening that belt, freeing it up. Some kind of deliberate increase in giving, upping monthly giving by a certain percentage each year. So can you guys just stop recording a sec? Can you do that? I could tell you stories when that kind of thing hasn't happened, and we've had to grind it out and tighten this belt, boy. Oh, dear. We're still not recording. We can do anything, man. Oh, it is such an adventure. And Ashley's eyes as wide as saucers when I told her. And faith has grown. Now we just want to get more reckless. It's like when you get into the adventure, it's just terrific. Okay, you can turn back on. What position was I in? Like this. Just say when. Tell me when. So, oh yeah, generous giver. So gift days, plan ahead for gift days. I know the dates of the gift days in our church. They're published up front. I am interested in them. I want a runway for them. I don't want to be caught by surprise. Challenge, advance, embark on a 12-month adventure of moving up a level. What does ministry of giving giver look like? It looks like considerably more than the base level of 10%. I think there's a spiritual gift of giving, special ability from God to make money and give it away. Motivation, you understand, it's my spiritual gifts and ministry responsibility. So there's men and women in God first who, when you say, you know, what is your thing? They say, I just love making money and giving it away. And what about handing out, you know, things at the door on Sunday? Oh, I don't like doing that. Small group leadership. Oh, I'm useless at that. And ministry to the poor. Hopeless. Funding it all. I love to do that. So before, God, I feel I should do more of that. I feel it is more about what I can keep than what I can give. Key verse, maybe Romans 12:8. Key action, connection and accountability with others in the church with this gift. Sense of responsibility, strategic in making money to give money. I think this is a breakthrough for us. If you've got this gift, I want to encourage you to find out who else has got this gift and stay accountable with it. Because one of my gifts is preaching. I preach most Sundays. The Thursday before I preach, I have a group of men and women who help panel beat what I'm planning to preach. A few days after I've preached it, guess what? Okay, BJ, let's talk about that. The accountability levels are yay high. People don't say thank you to preachers as much as people think people say thank you to preachers. Because often if you've got the gift to give, you say, no one gives thanks to me. It's not like preaching. Preaching is a spiritual gift. Gift of giving is a spiritual gift. Both operate whether people thank you or not. And like any spiritual gift, there needs to be accountability because the gift doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus anyway. And it's for the good of others, not you. Every spiritual gift needs accountability. Prophetic word that goes a bit amiss. We had such a funny one a few years ago in our church. This woman who we knew not was a racist prophesied in Jesus' name all sorts of racist connotations. And, you know, we didn't just let it go because it's like her gift of prophecy. We chatted to her and we said, don't ever prophesy about, you know, one color being better than the other color, essentially, and so on. I get that every week with preaching. Not the racist thing, but accountability. Actually, I often get it with Australians. jokes about Australians. But my accountability team are all South Africans, so they say more jokes about Australians, PJ. More jokes. So it's great to be accountable with it. My friend Scott Marks in Zim, you know, he's just so brilliant on this. I've watched him grow in his gift of giving over the years. He often does a one page. He says, this is everything I earn, everything I own. And this is what I'm giving. Guys, what do you think? And, you know, Scott, big smile. And we just say, Scott, that is outstanding, man. Well done. I got a mate called Martin. He's a big businessman in Sandton in Johannesburg. He phoned me up probably 3 weeks ago. And he's an Afrikaans dude, which means he's flipping tough. And he eats meat and like you can't believe. You know, he's got a whole theology on it. He says, he said, God would not, if God didn't want us to eat meat, he wouldn't have made cows of meat. And he believes it, boy. The rest of us are trying to move on to veggies, not Martin. So he phones me up and he says, BJ, I've just heard that my big bonus is coming up in August. Can you just make a note? And when August comes, sit me down and say, Martin, give way more than you did last year because come August, I might have got selfish and stingy with my money. I said, yeah, great. And what else did you want to talk about? No, that's it. Cheers. the guy is so accountable with his gift of giving. And he gives huge. But he says, I want to give bigger. I just want to tell you now. I'm feeling generous now. I don't know if I will in August. I want you to know now so you can pin me in August. And in August, he'll be pinning me on my preaching. Oh, such a cool gift. Ministry of giving. Oh, yeah, and you guys, when you get together, you'll know someone with the ministry of giving because you're having a normal conversation, you know, about beating Brazil. Just well done on that. And then you'll move from soccer to the weather, and then someone will say, isn't there a gift day coming up? And he'll go, what did you say? And he starts dribbling because he's left his mouth open because he's just thinking. He loves gift days. And when these groups get together, they think, guys, how can we make money? And some of the guys in Joburg are just fascinating on this. They're, you know, some give 20%, 10% of profits, net profits. Other guys say, we're doing shares. We want wealth. So we're giving to the church and ministry a certain amount of shares. And that can be huge money going forward. Other guys, particularly the guys in property, say, what if we're just, I'm not doing any deals. What if I started to do deals in that direction? Every bit of the bucks that I'm going to make goes to the church. And they hadn't even thought of doing deals in that direction until they get together with the guys and think, how can we make more money for the advance of the kingdom? And this happens across the church. Kids leaders, when they get in the same room together, it's how can we better bring the gospel to this generation of kids? And no one goes, that's weird. How can we let's do a seminar on how we can prophesy better in meetings and outside of meetings on the street. Excellent. And you do that every area. Do that with the men and women with the gift of giving. You'll be amazed at what begins to bubble up. That's it on giving. Over the page. Oh, one more testimony. Brett Tromp, he is FD of this huge health insurance company in Johannesburg called Discovery Health. He's in the church. He is the most reckless, radical, adventurous giver I know. Can I just tell you a cool thing that happened to him? This guy's so generous. He got ripped off last year. He was selling a car, and he lost 100,000 rand, about 8,000 pounds, on a car deal. He was just completely ripped off by this really cool, that the system that this bunch of crooks had going was a thing of beauty. But my mate Brett got ripped off. Okay. And he was bleak about it. And he said, he said, God, I give all this to you and I get ripped off. But him and his wife Candace gathered themselves and said, Lord, we're going to trust you. We just trust you. Going forward, bring it back to us. Don't bring it back to us. We trust you. About a month later, his company does this raffle for staff members. They do it a couple of times a year. And he won. Out of 6,600 employees, he wins. And the amount, guess what it was? 100,000 rand. 8,000 pounds. I mean, that was just out of 6,000. It happened a month later. So he was giving that testimony in church, and the place just exploded, erupted. Okay, last one. Okay, non-leader to leader. This is, progress up a level in serving leading. So you might be here as an invite with another leader, not yet leading to leading. Key verses to help you start leading. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. You have a growing understanding of how the body of Christ works with everyone playing their part. And you understand that serving is a Christ-like quality. Challenge, make yourself available to the leaders of the church. Say, how can I serve? How can I lead? Put me to work. Try and go for an area that you think fits your gifts and passions, but be willing to do anything for 3 months. So go for square peg, square hole, but often you think you're a square peg, and you actually realize you're a round peg, and you get your, it's a journey. But even if it's not totally comfortable, be faithful in it. At the end of 3 months, assess with your leader, is it fitting, is it working? Then what if you're a lapsed leader? So you might feel, I'm lapsed. I'm here and looking very leader-ish, but in my heart, I'm lapsed. Key verses, keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, my dear friend. Repent and do the things you did at first. Ooh, that's an elbow in the ribs. 1 Peter 2, be a living stone, not a rolling stone. Don't roll out, roll in on a Sunday, roll out, roll in. Be a living stone. Remember that the church holds together and grows as each person participates. So important, friends, to be a living stone built in. Did you lapse for a good reason? Or is there something that needs to be resolved in your heart or lifestyle? Or with another person? Did you get exhausted because of unrealistic demands by Felicity, who runs that section of the kids' ministry, hypothetically? Tell me there's no one called Felicity. Or was it through your own unwise, foolish living? Did you feel let down? Maybe you did. Maybe you felt unsupported. Maybe you felt used by another leader. Or is it that you need to mature? Was there a lack of relationship, or do you have an unrealistic expectation of relationship? Or was it just a bad fit? You know, it didn't empower you what you were doing, and you were doing it for too long, and it was just dreadfully unempowering, and you just lapsed. That's quite understandable. So it might have been for a reason that you were responsible for, or someone else. Either way, the challenge would be assess the reason for your lapsing and take any appropriate action. Talk to another leader, get prayer, get help. Talk to them about maybe how they hurt you, if that's the case. Then factoring in the current needs of the church and your own gifts, skills, passions, discuss with your leaders where you could best be deployed. Remember to have a sober assessment of your level and shape of gifting. Often others are better suited to help us with that than we are to help ourselves. Get stuck in again. Serve Jesus steadily. It's a great adventure. You'll know joy and fulfillment. And then maybe you're a meaningful leader, but you want to move to innovative leader. key verses, let your progress be evident to all. Consider how to stir. How can you freshly stir up those that you lead to love and good works? You remember, have unique gifts to contribute to the mission. It's a challenge. Get over yourself. Remember, God has chosen to lead through people. Be the best leader you can be for Jesus. The best, you being the best you is the best thing for CCL, whoever they are. IJKL, yeah, it must be CCK. There is more. God is with you. God has made you unique, meaning there are things that only you can bring to the mission of God through the church. What else could you contribute? It might be taking on a greater leadership responsibility or innovating to improve an area of the mission. It might be moving sideways. It might be moving up. It might be moving down. How can you best be positioned with the gifts that belong to Jesus, not you, and for the good of others? How can you best be deployed for the mission? Maybe you could introduce a new initiative. Remember that thing that's been bugging you about the church not doing? He said, I'm going to solve that. I am the church. What could you do? How could you do it? Why not brainstorm it with other leaders? So, dear friends, what are you going to put? I accept the challenge to progress from being a something leader to being a something leader. My closing remarks are this. You might like to say it out loud after me. Jesus is fully God. He's the creator God. I was made by him and for him. He's head of the church. He's the reconciler of me, many other people, ultimately all things. I would love to know him better through prayer and Bible reading. I want to steward his bucks better. I want to serve and lead. Lord Jesus, that's us. That's us. We love you. You first loved us. We're yours. I pray for great grace for each of us and collectively to make huge progress in 2013. In Jesus' name, amen.